Welcome to day 16 of Walking with Jesus Through the Word, one chapter per day. I'm Pastor Jason Van Bemmel from Forest Hill Presbyterian Church, and on this 16th day of our Bible reading plan, we are in Matthew chapter 4, jumping back to the New Testament, for one of the most important passages in all of the Bible, and that is the temptation of Jesus in the wilderness by the devil. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, which is so powerful. Every part of it, whether it's a list of names and the table of nations that we were looking at yesterday in Genesis 10, or the temptation of your son in the wilderness here in Matthew 4. All of this is your word. It is your word to your people, to your glory. So write it on our hearts, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Matthew chapter 4. Then Jesus, this is after the baptism, by the way, immediately after his baptism by John. Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, 'He will command his angels concerning you, and on their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone.'" Jesus said to him, "Again, it is written, 'You shall not put the Lord your God to the test.'" Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And Jesus said to him, "All these I will give you if you will fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Be gone, Satan, for it is written, 'You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve.'" Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and were ministering to him. Now, when he heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea, in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled: "The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned." From that time Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who was called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. And he went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every affliction among the people. So his fame spread throughout all Syria, and they brought him all the sick, those afflicted with various diseases and pains, those oppressed by demons, those having seizures and paralytics, and he healed them. And great crowds followed him from Galilee and the Decapolis and from Jerusalem and Judea and from beyond the Jordan. Amen. That's God's holy word. Well, here in Matthew 4, we see just very important beginning of Jesus' earthly ministry. He was baptized by John in Matthew chapter 3. Remember that? God the Father anointed him with the Holy Spirit and testified that he is his beloved Son with whom he is well pleased. And it was immediately after that that Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. This is God's sovereign design for the beginning of Jesus' ministry. First, he's anointed by the Holy Spirit, and then, in the power of the Holy Spirit, he is tempted by the devil. Jesus had fasted 40 days and 40 nights. He was hungry. I think that's the understatement of the year. He was hungry. It's interesting to compare and contrast Jesus' temptation here in Matthew 4 with Adam and Eve's temptation in Genesis chapter 3. Jesus here is the new Adam, who is representing his race, the chosen race, as our Redeemer King. And he's there in our place, standing as the head, the federal head of God's people, just as Adam was in our place, representing the head of all natural humanity in the garden. Adam was in a garden, well provided for, and he was tempted one time. Jesus was in a desert wilderness where he had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, and he was hungry, and there was no provision for his earthly needs, and he was tempted by the devil three times. But where Adam gave in, Jesus prevailed. What we see actually is that the same temptation that came to Adam in the form of the fruit, if you read in Genesis 3, we lingered on that for a little bit to see the description, that he saw that the fruit was pleasing to the eyes, that's the lust of the eyes, good for food, that's the lust of the flesh, and desirable to make one wise, that's the pride of life. There were those three temptations in one in that piece of fruit. It was a lust of the eyes temptation, it was a lust of the flesh temptation, it was a pride of life temptation. And 1 John 2, 14 to 16 is where you pick up those three explicitly, and they really do summarize everything that's in the world and all of the ways in which Satan tempts God's people. And we see those same three temptations here. The first temptation, to turn stone into bread, is a temptation to give in to the lust of the flesh, to give in to hunger, to your appetite, rather than obey God. Just as Adam saw that the fruit was good for food, Jesus certainly had the power to turn a stone into bread and satisfy his hunger, but that was not what God had provided for him. And so he resisted, and he said, "Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God." The second is a pride of life temptation. That may be a little bit harder to see, but you have to understand the pinnacle of the temple is really the centerpiece of Jerusalem and of the worship of God's people. It was always full of people who were coming to worship. And if Jesus had thrown himself down from the pinnacle and God had commanded his angels concerning him to bear him up so that he wouldn't strike his foot against a stone, he would be showing off in front of everyone who would have to see and have to acknowledge that he is the Messiah. But that was not what God planned. God planned a different way for Jesus to show that he was the Messiah, and that involved going to a cross and dying for the sins of his people. So Jesus said, "You shall not put the Lord your God to the test." He wasn't going to shortcut his way to messianic glory. He was going to go on the road that God had ordained for him. No pride of life, but humble obedience to his Father. And the third is the lust of the eyes. He sees all the kingdoms of the world and all their glory, and Satan says, "All these will be yours if you bow down and worship me." And Jesus says, "Be gone. You shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you serve." All three scripture quotations that Jesus recited to the devil come from the book of Deuteronomy, which is a book that the kings of Israel were to write out by hand and keep a copy of themselves, for it was the law of God that was to guide the king in his rule. Jesus had written the book of Deuteronomy not on a scroll parchment, but on his heart. He had memorized the book, because he's quoting here readily from the book of Deuteronomy, which is the covenant law book for the kings to govern by. Then we see Jesus go after he passes this temptation test and triumphs over every form of temptation for us as our representative, our Savior, our High Priest. He passes the test. He's tempted in every way just as we are, and yet without sin. He then goes and withdraws into Galilee. And this is a fulfillment of what we find in Isaiah chapter 9. This region was a despised region in Israel. It had a lot of Gentiles in it. It had been conquered several times by the enemies of God's people. It was part of Israel. It wasn't part of Samaria. It was part of the people of God, but it was a despised area. And so the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And those dwelling in the region in shadow of death, those subject to oppression and invasion, so many times on them a light has dawned. Once he's there, he begins to preach, and his message is to repent. Change your mind, change your ways, turn around, because the kingdom of God is at hand. The kingdom of heaven, as Matthew always puts it, is at hand. And then he calls the first disciples, Simon and Andrew, James and John. They're all fishermen. And he immediately calls them, and they leave their nets, and they follow him. So he's been anointed by the Spirit. He's passed the temptation tests. He's been given his place of primary ministry, and he's now called his first followers. And with that, everything is in place for him to enter into his earthly ministry, which consists in Matthew's gospel of teaching and healing. We see long sections of teaching in Matthew's gospel. Matthew 5, 6, and 7 give us the Sermon on the Mount. We get the parables in Matthew 13 and elsewhere. And then you also see long sections of Jesus healing and Jesus doing miracles. We get a summary overview of the ministry of Jesus here at the end of chapter 4. His ministry consists of teaching the truth of the gospel of the kingdom and of healing every disease and affliction among the people. Jesus is the source of truth and the source of life. He is the one who tells us the way of God and who brings us into the kingdom of God as God's anointed king. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your son, Jesus, our Savior. Thank you for what you've shown us of him in Matthew 4 today. Please write these words on our hearts and let us follow Jesus always. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you so much for joining me again for day 16. Losing count. Day 16. Tomorrow is day 17, and we'll be back in Genesis chapter 11, for the Tower of Babel. Hope you can join us then. Have a blessed day in the Lord.